The first reading can be found on page 947 in the Church Bibles or page 1680 in the large print version. The reading is from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 to 20. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The sorrows for the appointed feasts I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel can be found on page 1026 in the Church Bibles or page 1811 in the large print version. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And the angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Well, I'm sure you know that feeling of being let down by people, that feeling of disappointment, of disillusionment. Maybe the feeling of distance appearing in a relationship because you do feel let down and you find it harder to trust next time around. And if you're anything like me, you'll be aware as you feel let down by others that you also can be one who lets others down. Too quick to promise things, perhaps, that you can't actually guarantee. Or maybe things you really intended to do, but it just slipped your mind at the time. Mishap with the diary, or just too wrapped up in yourself to be able to give consideration to others at the right time. And of course, it's not just through our own deliberate fault, as the prayer of confession puts it, that we let people down. No, it's because there are so many things in life that are beyond our control, so many things that we can't be sure of. Times when we had every intention of doing something for someone, but circumstances beyond our control just mean that we couldn't. We can't be 100% reliable, even though we long to be that, because we simply don't have the means of guaranteeing things. Well, as we join Mary at this stage in her life story, we're aware that with what's announced by the angel Gabriel in this part of Luke, Mary could easily have begun to feel let down by circumstances as she realised some of the implications of what was going to lie ahead for her. As her husband Joseph, in compassion, had in mind to divorce her. As she started to contemplate the shame that would come on her and her community and her family, that she would be pregnant as a betrothed woman, as a young woman, not yet married. She could have easily felt let down, and she could have easily felt that she also had let down others. But that doesn't seem to be Mary's attitude. No, there's things that she realises, and she starts to realise here, at the very moment that the angel appears to her, that means that her perspective is quite different. And I think Mary notices three things in this event, and I'd love for us to notice them too, and then we'll think a little bit about what implication they might have for us. Well, the first thing that Mary notices and is aware of is that this very appearance to her in Nazareth shows that God is a God of the ordinary. These are refreshingly ordinary circumstances. Mary's just a young girl. She's not living in the capital city of Jerusalem, the place where God symbolically is dwelling, at the centre of God's people. No, she's out in the sticks, in the town of Nazareth. She doesn't seem to have any particular status in society. As far as we know, she's a peasant girl. And yet, she is acutely aware of God remembering her. It's clear, isn't it, in this passage, that God knows her. God knows her, God chooses her in her ordinary circumstances. Mary, you have found favour with God. Or in verse 28, greetings, you are who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. This event, called the Annunciation, the sort of announcement of Jesus' birth to Mary, has been depicted in Renaissance art in great splendour, often incorporating some of the architecture of the day, kind of boasting simultaneously about how advanced civilization was and sort of displaying the skills, the newfound skills of perspective in painting. Think of artists like Botticelli or Da Vinci or Caravaggio. But let's not be fooled by those splendid paintings. As beautiful as they are and as grand as they are, actually the circumstances here are very far from that. This is ordinary, everyday life. No fine clothing, no great architecture, no classical grandeur. And it's a contrast with last week. Last week there was an angelic announcement about the birth of John the Baptist. And that was at the temple, that was in Jerusalem. There were people gathered in prayer. Zechariah had his once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go and burn incense in the temple, a great honour for a priest. But this is quite different, quite removed from all of the importance and the pomp and circumstance of an event like that. No, this is a wonderful thing that happens to an ordinary person in an ordinary place. And Mary is aware of that. She's aware of being someone who is humbled in her circumstances, and yet God sees her and knows her and remembers her. So that's the first thing that Mary notices, and I think we can learn from that too, that God is a God of the ordinary. He's a God of the school run, a God of the commute, a God of the supermarket shop. Let's not forget God, the God of everyday, ordinary things. And let's be mindful of the Lord being with us at Christmas, in the everyday, in the ordinary. It should be a great comfort to us, but perhaps a challenge to us too, as we go from church in our Monday to Saturday lives, to be remembering that God, the God of the ordinary, is with us in those times, to be mindful of him and what it looks like to take note of him, to be aware of him in those moments. There's an old Scottish saying that I've noticed hanging above some kitchen sinks. Divine service conducted here three times daily. It captures very well, doesn't it? The God of ordinary things, the God of our lives, the God of the washing up bowl. And we can worship him there too. So that's the first thing Mary notices. The second thing that Mary notices is, quite apart from the ordinary circumstances, the extraordinary content of what is spoken to her. Verse 31. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. It's an announcement that comes into ordinary circumstances, but the content is not ordinary at all. Look at the promises. Look at the promises. First of all, the promise of Mary giving birth to a son, not yet married to Joseph. Extraordinary. Secondly, the name that Jesus has given. Talking of the salvation that's coming. A salvation that the Jewish people have been waiting for hundreds of years. Such a weight of expectation that finally a promised king would arrive, the promised saviour would arrive. And this will be the child that Mary will give birth to. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. There's talk here of him being given a throne even greater than that of David, the greatest king that Israel had known. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Incredible promises being made to Mary about the child that she will give birth to. Speak of a reign that never ends. She'd seen and heard about all sorts of powerful leaders rising and falling, coming and going. The current leader in Jerusalem, Herod, just a puppet king, not really powerful. And yet here is talk of a Jewish king who will be great, greater than any king they've known, one who will rule forever. Well, quite understandably, Mary asks, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angels answer, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, in contrast to Zechariah last week, who was told that his wife would give birth to a child, even in her old age, even though they'd long given up hope of having a child. He doubted. He doubted that promise. And we might expect him not to. He, after all, is a well-respected priest. He'd grown up with the Torah. He knew all the stories of God's faithfulness in the past. He knew all the stories of God keeping his promises. And yet he doubts the Lord's promise. Contrast that with Mary here, just a young girl, a peasant girl living out in the country. And yet, when this incredible promise comes to her, she believes it to be true. Look at her response in verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Incredible. She takes God at his word. And maybe it's that line, the last line that Gabriel has in this passage, that convinces her. Verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. I wonder if we believe that. It's a wonderful promise, isn't it? A promise that was on Jesus' lips as well. Do you remember the rich young man comes to Jesus? And after he goes away sad, the disciples say, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. Let's admire the faith of Mary here, trusting the Lord, taking the Lord at his word. In another translation, it reads, no word of God can ever fail. We might think, well, that's fine for Mary. She's got an angelic announcement. You know, things were different for her back then. We live in the muck and the mire of a broken world, and it's complicated. How can we possibly believe that nothing is impossible with God? Well, Mary's circumstances were very similar. Lots she didn't understand. Lots that was confusing. Lots that was difficult. Lots that was hard. And yet she trusted that it was true. That unlike us, unable to keep our promises, God could. It's hard to know how much she knew of all of the times in the past when God had kept his promises. Promises to rescue and to save. Promises to bring his people out of exile. Promises to bring his people out of slavery in Egypt. Promises to be faithful to the covenant he made with Noah and with Abraham, with Isaac and with Jacob. Promises that he made to bring his people into the land that they would inherit. Much evidence in the past of God's faithfulness. And evidence too in what lay ahead in Mary's life. As she saw this child grow up in the strength of the Lord. She saw all that was remarkable about him. She saw her own son so clearly displaying the marks of the divine. Being the fulfillment of many promises. There's a wonderful line later on in Luke where it says, Mary pondered all these, treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, noticing all these promises coming true in the Lord Jesus himself. It's a model response. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And of course it was true of her son too, the Lord Jesus, who would be a servant king, one who came not to be served, but to serve. One who trusted in the promises of God, the promises of his Father. And one who lived out God's plan. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Well, a challenge there for each of us. To take God at his word. To trust in his promises, however unlikely they might look. Both last week and this week. So unlikely. And yet God was so trustworthy. And a great comfort to us too, that God is a God of the everyday, of the ordinary, of our lives, Monday to Saturday. May that be a comfort to us this Christmas, and may we cling to his promises. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that although we enjoy the pictures of Christmas where there are lots of halos and it's all very neat and shiny, we thank you that the true Christmas was ordinary. In many ways, was full of mess and complication and relational strife. We thank you that it's not so different to the lives we live today. And therefore we know that the same promises that were true back then can be true for us today as well. But we thank you that in the midst of the ordinary, there was much that was extraordinary. Please help us to notice those things, to rejoice in those things as we sing carols, as we celebrate Christmas. And as we look to the one who was extraordinary, an extraordinary king, an extraordinary servant, and who now reigns on the throne, please help us to know him, to see him as he is, and to trust him. Please do this work in our hearts and minds this Christmas, for your name's sake. Amen. Amen.